أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Okay, inshallah, tonight we're going to try to wrap this topic up that we've had over the past few nights. So far, this is how far we got that in this whole topic of dunya, that topic, the thing that usually is bashed a lot by people, and is somewhat implied by what people say, that stay away from it as much as we can. We started doing research into this topic a little bit to see what the literature out there says actually in regards to the dunya. To see if it's very bad, normal, pretty good, or very good. To see exactly what our when we want to do research into a topic, how we're supposed to do it. Okay. So far we had three sets of literature. One set implied absolutely bad. Dunya, absolutely bad. One set implied absolutely good or absolutely not bad. And as I said before, we can't take both of these sets in their literal sense because that's a contradiction. And as I said before, theologically, Islam, Allah, the Ma'sumin, they can't have two opinions that are conflicting regarding the exact same issue. Impossible, theologically. So what do we do? We look for clues here and there to see what is meant. For example, if someone comes up to you and says, you know what, I hate prune juice. Prune juice, I hate it. And then 2 minutes later you say, you know what, I love prune juice. Prune juice is the best. I don't know who out there likes prune juice, but prune juice is the best. So you say, okay, what did you mean by this? Do you like it or you do not like it? Very simple. Now what if someone comes out and says, you know what he meant by that? He meant that prune juice, when it's cold, I like it. When it's warm, I don't like it. That's what he meant by it. Or another person says, you know what he meant by prune juice? I like and I don't like. He likes it when it's light colored. Some people like light colored things. And he doesn't like it when it's darker. What you'll say is, okay, do you have evidence for this? What that person meant by this? You're trying to fix the problem. You're trying to fix this contradiction, but you're using something that you have no reasoning for it. If this person himself has said before that, you know, I hate hot stuff and I love cold stuff. And then he had said, I love prune juice, I hate prune juice. Well, you might have had justification to say, okay, what he means by I love is when it's cold, and what he means by what I hate is when it is not cold. But if that person has only say, you don't have a right to say, okay, this is what he meant by this, and this is what he meant by that. What's the most you can say? You can say, I don't know what's going on. Very simple. This was the first step in Islamic scholarship. If you can't reach a conclusion, you just stop and you say, I don't know. But if you find clues, and as I said, in this topic we have many clues as to what is meant by this absolute set of literature that says bad, if you have clues that a certain aspect, because of a certain thing in this thing, are saying absolutely it's bad. What is meant by it is when it's like this. In this aspect of it, it's bad. Not completely bad. Alright. So we had these two sets of absolute literature. One says very, one says bad, one says not bad. But then we came up with a third set of literature that I recited the verses of the night before last, where verses of the Quran are implying that whenever dunya and akhirah are in conflict with each other, dunya is bad. If you prefer dunya over akhirah, that dunya is bad. Okay? So we have a set of literature that says bad. We have a set of literature that says bad when it's in conflict with dunya, with akhirah. These two, we put these two together. And then you have the other set that says it's not bad. Conclusion, when you put all of these together, is it's bad when it's in conflict with akhirah. It's not bad. Why do we tell our youth, or why do we imply, or why do our speakers sound when they're speaking about this topic? Why do they sound as if the default when it comes to dunya is bad? Now, there's a point here that I will make maybe 45 minutes into the lecture. Okay, if it is, if the default in the dunya is good, not bad, then why is it that our literature is always speaking ill of it? Yeah, there's a reason for that. I'll get to that, inshallah. But for now, theoretically speaking, default is good. It's a creation of Allah. If it conflicts with your akhirah, it's bad. Why? Why do you say this? Where'd you get this from? That third set of literature that I recited the verses of the night before last. Alright? We're doing Islamic scholarship here. Alright. Now a question that rises is why? Why is it that if these two are in conflict with each other, that if you prefer the dunya over akhirah, this is very important. I don't want to hear lecturers anymore say dunya is bad. You have to say dunya is bad when you prefer it over akhirah. And what that means, preferring it over akhirah, I will also explain, inshallah. Alright. But why is it that you're not supposed to prefer it over akhirah? This is where the sources go crazy. They go all out. Because they are unveiling and exposing the essence of this dunya. Once you get to know the essence of it a little bit, the Quran and Ahlul Bayt don't even have to tell you that don't compromise your akhirah for dunya. This is very important. Lots of times we have a hadith for something, or people look for a hadith for something while Allah had given you the greater hujjah. It's in your head. It's called the aqil. 2 + 2 = 4. If this is better than that, then I will prefer this over that. We don't even need the literature to tell us when it's in conflict. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the prophets alayhi wasalam, they come and they let us know of a day to come. These kinds of things, they don't even need to tell us that you better prefer this over that. The fact that they're just letting us know that there's better stuff on that side, our aqil is enough to tell us, okay, then prefer that one. Prefer that one doesn't mean put this one aside. Once again, I'll talk about this. What is meant by preferring? That's also important. But now what about the literature that lets us know of the value of this dunya? This is a fourth set of literature now. Okay, we're moving into the fourth set of literature. Four, you could say, variables now. And there's lots more. I won't have time to get into it. You see, just the little discussion of dunya, how long it takes. It's taken us all these nights. And we will be only covering a little bit of it. There's still a lot more other things. Dunya, if it's good, the default of it, this, that. What about when it comes to ulama? And there, the way they deal with dunya and dunyawi things, it'll be a little different, because then we have a fifth set of ahadith and literature about alims and dunya. So even if the default is something when it comes to normal people, when it comes to, I don't know if we'll get to that part. Alright, set number four of these literature that lets us know what the dunya is all about. Let's go to Nahjul Balagha. There are three famous lines from Imam Ali alayhi salam, different parts of Nahjul Balagha. I'll read them to you. And then we'll get a hint of why the dunya is bad. It's not bad. The value of it is low. That's why if we spend too much time for it, in a way that it compromises our akhirah, then it's bad. Let's look at this. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, Wallah, la dunyakum hadhihi. أهون في عيني من عراق خنزير في يد مجذوم. So we've all heard this before. I'll translate. We've all heard this before. But it's used in the context of turn your back on the dunya completely. But if we focus on the wording in this and the other two following excerpts of Nahj al-Balagha, we'll see that's not what Imam Ali is saying. He says that this world, this dunya of yours, la dunyakum, this dunya of yours, has less value for me than the bone of a dead pig in the hand of a person with leprosy that is offering this to me. So, does that mean 10% value for the dunya? 20% value for the dunya? 30%? How much? How much is a bone like that worth to us? It's below zero, right? Below zero. But please pay attention. Imam Ali didn't say, inna dunya. Inna dunya. Wallah, la dunya hadhihi. He didn't say the dunya is like this. Keep this in mind. We'll go back to it. Number two. He says, dunyakum hadhihi azhadu indi min aftati anzin. This dunya of yours, for me, is worth less than the sneeze of a goat. And I don't know how many of us even knew before this that goats sneeze. Did you know that goats sneeze? I didn't know. What is meant here is that when the goat sneezes, you know, the stuff that comes out of the goat when he sneezes. Mr. Goat, when he sneezes, the stuff that comes out. For Imam Ali, it's worth less than this. But once again, he didn't say, inna dunya. This is the dunya. He says, dunyakum hadihi. We're getting somewhere. Me is worth less than the leaf in the mouth of a worm or a locust or a grasshopper, whatever. So we've all seen the Discovery Channel. We've seen, like, you know, the ants and insects eating food. When you see that, that is just disgusting. I wonder if that's how the angels look at us when we eat food. How much is that worth? When you see that on the Discovery Channel, how much of that leaf would you like? Well, not much, if any at all. Imam Ali here, once again, he says, dunyakum. Your dunya, in my eyes, is worth this much. Meaning zero. Zero. Please pay attention here now. In all three of these excerpts, he said, dunyakum. There, when the person came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and he started speaking bad about the dunya, the Imam defended the dunya. He didn't say, dunya kum is like a good place. Your dunya is a good place. He said, the dunya. You paying attention? The dunya is a good place. It's where you get your akhirah from. Here, when he's speaking ill of it, all three places, these are different places of the Nahj al-Balagha. He keeps saying, dunya kum. Dunyakum. Which dunya is that the one that's not worth anything for me? Dunyakum, your dunya. What's wrong with you? Itself isn't a problem. Once it's associated with us and the way we look at it and the way we deal with it and the way we use it to compromise our akhirah, that's when all of a sudden it loses all value. So here, when he says the dead bone of a pig, when he says the leaf that he's chewing on, and says the sneeze of the goat, since he has added kum, you, your dunya, since he has added this to dunya, he's allowed to say it's worthless. Does that mean the dunya had the problem, or the kum, you guys, had the problem? This is very important. You're the problem. I'm the problem. I'm the problem. When the dunya is associated with me because of the way I look at it, the way I deal with it, all of a sudden things go down. Things are zero value. No value at all. Does that mean the dunya doesn't have value or I don't have value? The way I look at it. That's the problem. It's right here. This is the problem. So dunya is an objective reality, brothers and sisters. If it's good, it's always good. I am the problem. And that's why you have a beautiful line. Imam Ali in Nahj al-Balagha, he says, يَنْحَدَرُ عَنِّ السَّيْلِ وَلَا يَرْقَى إِلَيَّ الطَّيْرِ. From me flows the floods of wisdom. It flows from me. And he calls it a sail, flood. That's how much it is. It floods from me. وَلَا يَرْقَى إِلَيَّ الطَّيْرِ. And the bird can never reach my loftiness and height. That's how high I am. Why does he say this? Because of things like this that I'm about to say that he says. He's speaking to someone, he says, وَحَقًّا أَقُولَ مَا الدُّنْيَا غَرَّتْكَ. The dunya hasn't fooled you. Trust me. The dunya hasn't fooled you. وَلَكِنْ بِهَغْتَرَرْتْ. Amirul Bayan, he knows what he's talking about. He knows how to use words. He says, it didn't fool you, you were fooled by it. What does that mean? Sometimes, right, you're in a dark room, and there's a shadow on the wall, and you are just so afraid of it. Right? You are so afraid of it. Then when it becomes morning time, or you turn the light on, you see that it was like a little baby duck or something, or a little toy duck that was sitting on the cabinet or something, and you're seeing the shadow of it big on the wall, and you're afraid. Can you say that this toy fooled me? It didn't fool you. But can we say you were fooled by it though? Yes, we can say that. You thought that there was something here, there was nothing here. Imam Ali says the dunya didn't fool you. Dunya is an objective reality, nothing else. It's just sitting there. So you're the problem. You're the problem. And then you blame it, put the blame on the dunya. Blame yourself. You have to fix yourself. And I'll talk about that when I'll get there, inshallah. So what's the problem? The problem is not the dunya. The dunya is not bad at all. The salams of Allah on the dunya. The dunya, when it messes with akhirah, is bad because it is worthless compared to the akhirah. That's the problem. We're the problem. And then Imam Ali, he sheds more light in other places of Nahj al-Balagha. He explains that it's not the matter of pleasure and stuff that's bad. Pleasure is good. He says, مَا لَعَلِيًّا وَلِنَعِيمٍ يَفْنَى وَلَذَّةٍ لَا تَبْقَى. He says, listen, Ali has nothing to do with pleasure that's not going to endure and last. Ya Ali, does that mean that you're all about pleasure? But you want the infinite and eternal? He says, yeah. The Quran taught us this. That's what we're here for. Isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But we want everything we can. That's how Allah created us. We just go wrong. We think that, okay, if I get this phone, if I get these shoes, whatever, then I'm good. Once you get it, you're like, okay, it's done. And then after a while, you're like, boring, I want more. No, it's not your fault. That's how Allah created you. You want infinity. You want eternity. You just think that this is going to satisfy this need. You spend half your life trying to get it, once you get it, and you spend half your life compromising your akhirah to get it sometimes. That's the problem. Once you reach it, you see that it was nothing. That's what Imam Ali says. Imam Ali says, what does Ali have to do with blessings that will end, that perish, and pleasure that does not remain? If I'm going to spend my life on something, it's going to be on something that will be there forever. Ya Ali, you sound like you're a materialist. He says, I'm not a materialist. I am after the ultimate pleasure. Why is that? All of us know math. To infinity, or one to infinity, or 10,000 to infinity. Haven't we learned this in math? Anything compared to infinity is like zero. Haven't we learned this? Anything compared to infinity is like zero. Why does Imam Ali act or sound like dunya is worth nothing? Because compared to infinity, it's nothing. Let alone 70 to 100 years. So Mawlana, you're saying no pleasure anymore? No, no, I didn't say that. We'll get there. We'll get there. For now, I'm just saying, let's be careful that we ما أصف في دار أولها عناء وآخرها فناء في حلالها حساب في حرامها عقاب. Imam Ali says, what do you want me to say? What can I say about a life that starts with hardship and pain? Ever since the time you're born, right, and you come into this world, hardship, pain, suffering, and eventually, what are you moving towards? Fana, destruction, annihilation, finish, nothing, zero. I don't know. If I wasn't a Muslim, I would probably commit suicide, because knowing that you're gonna die anyway, why go through all this trouble in this life, right? That's what Islam gives you. That's what Deen gives you. It gives you worldview. That's why we have to keep continuously reciting Quran at home, reflecting, thinking, translation, understanding, because it gives you hope. Reminds you that there's an akhirah, or else you'll give up. We'll give up. مَا أَصِفُ فِي دَارٍ أَوَّلُهَا عِنَاءٌ وَآخِرُهَا فَنَاءٌ. And then there's another hadith which is interesting. It says there's an angel of Allah that he has, that every day this angel calls out to the people, لِدُوا لِلْمَوْتِ وَابْنُوا لِلْخَرَابِ. Procreate, have children. For what? For maut, for death. They're going to die. And build and construct and, you know, get on with life, yes. But remember, the end is what? خَرَابِ, destruction. So this, compared to infinity, does Allah or the Quran even have to tell me, okay, now that you have to choose between infinity and like 70 years, you know, infinity, you weren't listening that day, infinity is better than 70 or 80 years, you know. Does Allah even need to tell me that? No, Allah just needs to tell me, or the prophets need to tell me, that there's an akhirah. If there's an akhirah and they let me know of the ghayb that there's an akhirah, then I make the right choice. Right? She agrees. Alright. So that's the fourth set of literature that we have. Now, let's move on to bad dunya. So what is bad dunya? That dollar store chocolate. That's what Imam Ali says when he says a leaf in the mouth of a locust, a pig's bone, and so on. That's what he means. Compared to akhirah, it is zero, zilch, nothing. Okay, so let me summarize these four or five nights that we've had. What happened and what we're after, and I'll end inshallah. We started like this. I started with the whole concept of Islamic scholarship. How is Islamic scholarship supposed to work? With an epidemic that we have today that's plaguing the Muslim ummah and our youth, is that all of a sudden we have this vacuum when it comes to English courses, English lectures, whatever it is, English classes on Islam. The problem is not the fact that we have teachers, speakers, whatever. The problem isn't that. The problem is when our speakers, our teachers, don't know the boundaries. Why? Because this secular environment that we're in dictates this to us. They step foot outside of, you know, the boundaries. There's a famous hadith, if I remember it correctly, rahimallah imra'an arafa qadrahu fa waqafa 'indah. May Allah's mercy be on the man or the person who knows his limit and stops there. Doesn't go on and on and on until he reaches Allah. This is a problem that we have, and it is the natural outcome of the environment that we're in, that our scholars sometimes, or our speakers, or our teachers, or whoever it is, will think that when it comes to Islamic thought, just because you have one set of hadiths regarding something, even though they are absolute, they are unrestricted, they will draw conclusions, they will give Islamic worldview based on this set. This is where the whole concept of ijtihad comes in. It's not just this one set. It's two sets, three sets, four, five, 10 sometimes, 20 sets that have to be put together before you can come to a conclusion. If you don't do that, you will fall into what Shaytan fell in, which was he did qiyas with Allah. which we, the Shia, believe some did after the Prophet, and they did Qiyas after the Prophet. And I spoke about Qiyas before. And this is one of the worst forms of bid'ah. We will be Shia. We will be saying we belong to the school of Ahlul Bayt, which tells us to think for ourselves. But at the same time, through this same logic, we are going against the school of Ahlul Bayt. Why? Because we're not doing the thorough, extensive research that's supposed to be done. We are stepping beyond our territory. I said that, and I explained that, and I tried to give an example over these nights for our younger, for the younger audience mostly, that when it comes to dunya, we're going to use the dunya as an example of how we can come to, you know, somewhat a relative conclusion in this minimal and limited time that we had regarding the dunya. How are we supposed to look at the dunya? So we had an absolute set of literature that said it's bad, absolute set of literature that said good. We had our own principle that we had come up with through other ahadith, through our own mind, theologically, that Allah cannot make something, create something that is inherently evil. We said all of this, we put this lens on, we went towards the ahadith. The first and second set, we wanted to reconcile. But we can't reconcile on our own. Just say, oh, this, when it says dunya is bad, it means dunya is bad if, I don't know, you're this tall, and if you're this short, dunya is good. Where are you getting this from? We said we have to, even when we want to reconcile, have to find another set of literature. Luckily, and fortunately, with the dunya, we have this third set that is defining of those two absolute sets. That third set, that is when it compromises your akhirah, it's bad. That's what is meant by bad. And then I explained tonight the fourth set of literature that explains why it's bad. As a matter of fact, it's not even bad. As a matter of fact, the default isn't bad. The bad is in who? Is in me and my weak iman, because I'm not an obedient servant of Allah, and my iman is down here. That's why I look at the dunya as is everything. While Imam Ali is saying, listen, compare this to the akhirah, ain't worth nothing. So I have to fix myself. How do I fix myself? By not compromising akhirah for dunya. How do I do that? Wajib and haram. Wajib and haram. Brothers, there's specific rulings for you that we have to know. Sisters, specific rulings for us, that for you, that you have to know. General, universal rulings that apply to all of us, we need to know. We have a lot of work to do. Gotta learn, gotta act upon, gotta teach to the rest. We have a long way to go. But the conclusion that we drew from all of this in our little mini-series of Islamic scholarship was that dunya, default, good. If it's gonna be bad, it'll be bad because it compromises akhirah. And the way it compromises akhirah is through the wajib and haram. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq, inshallah, to gain knowledge of the wajib and haram through our own effort and striving towards this goal. And then once we learn, inshallah, to put it into action so that we can be of those who Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We can hold our heads high and have the key to Jannah, inshallah. Once again, since it's the wiladat of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, I've been asked to just end it with this dua. Allahumma ajjil li waliyika al-faraj, waj'alna min khayri a'malihi wa ansari. Allahumma ihfaz ulama'ana, Allahumma shfi mardana wa rahham mawtana. Wa sallim dinana wa dunyana. Allahumma ajjil li waliyika al-faraj bin nabi wa alih rahimallah min qara' al-fatiha ma'as salawat.
صلى على محمد وآل محمد. ما صلى على محمد وآل محمد. On behalf of Maulana Sayyid Abidi, behalf of all the board, behalf of all of you, I'd like to thank Maulana Muhammad Amin Rustani for spending five practical nights. Actually, it's very, very practical nights. His speeches are very well and presented, and a lot of information. And inshallah, we'll try our best to follow those to be a practical and balanced mu'min and Muslim, inshallah, and follower of Ahlul Bayt to continue our life. I'd like to thank you, Mawlana. Thank you very much. May Allah bless you. May Allah bless all of us, inshallah. Now, ziyarah, inshallah. Salah ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
اللهم صل وسلم عليك نبي الله وجد صلاتنا بالقاسم محمد الصلاة والسلام على علي الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين الصلاة والسلام على الحسن المجتبى الولي الناصح الأمين السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته الصلاة والسلام على الأئمة المعصومين من ذرية الحسين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان عجل الله فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره والمستشهدين بين يديه في جملة أوليائه برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات وأمات الحاضرين رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.